This is the Cambridge Certificate in Advanced English Listening Test. Test A. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear two students talking about a lecture on social networking websites which they attended. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
Good lecture, eh?
Yes. The lecturer seemed basically to be saying that the more people sit in front of their screens, the less time they have for spending quality time with real friends. The small group of friends that really count.
Yes. I suppose it was all about friendship, really, wasn't it?
Mm.
About how you need time and effort to build up loyalty and trust, and this is best done face to face.
But what I didn't get is, why can't some of your online friends also be your real ones? It didn't seem to me to be a distinction worth making.
Right. Anyway, I thought the best bit was about how people will hopefully see the whole thing as some kind of game, like any other computer game. So in that way, online networking won't affect them too much.
Yes, but the lecturer also suggested it might go the other way.
Mm.
It might be damaging and make people cynical about friendship in general.
It certainly gave us all food for thought.
Yes, about the nature of friendship and who your true friends really are. And the end was really funny.
Good lecture, eh?
Yes. The lecturer seemed basically to be saying that the more people sit in front of their screens, the less time they have for spending quality time with real friends. The small group of friends that really count.
Yes. I suppose it was all about friendship, really, wasn't it?
Mm.
About how you need time and effort to build up loyalty and trust, and this is best done face to face.
But what I didn't get is, why can't some of your online friends also be your real ones? It didn't seem to me to be a distinction worth making.
Right. Anyway, I thought the best bit was about how people will hopefully see the whole thing as some kind of game, like any other computer game. So in that way, online networking won't affect them too much.
Yes, but the lecturer also suggested it might go the other way.
Mm.
It might be damaging and make people cynical about friendship in general.
It certainly gave us all food for thought.
Yes, about the nature of friendship and who your true friends really are. And the end was really funny.
Extract 2. You hear part of a discussion programme about interviewers on TV chat shows. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
Well, I've interviewed on TV for 20 years now, and I believe you really get your famous guest to open up to you by being nice and encouraging. A chat show isn't like a political interview, and if you really try and put your guest on the spot, then you end up with a defensive, unwilling guest and viewers who feel uneasy.
But surely you don't want to end up with an interview that's all just bland and nicey-nice.
Well, I'm not sure. It is just entertainment, after all. But also, another mantra of mine is to let the guest do most of the talking. So many of the TV interviews you see nowadays are effectively all about the funny interviewer rather than the celebrity guest. But the show's meant to be an interview with so-and-so, not an interview by so-and-so.
Surely not. The name of the chat show is the name of the interviewer. That's how it was with your show. It's their show and they're in charge. What's happened is these newer interviewers you refer to have simply brought their own personality out more, which makes it all much funnier in my view.
Well, I've interviewed on TV for 20 years now, and I believe you really get your famous guest to open up to you by being nice and encouraging. A chat show isn't like a political interview, and if you really try and put your guest on the spot, then you end up with a defensive, unwilling guest and viewers who feel uneasy.
But surely you don't want to end up with an interview that's all just bland and nicey-nice.
Well, I'm not sure. It is just entertainment, after all. But also, another mantra of mine is to let the guest do most of the talking. So many of the TV interviews you see nowadays are effectively all about the funny interviewer rather than the celebrity guest. But the show's meant to be an interview with so-and-so, not an interview by so-and-so.
Surely not. The name of the chat show is the name of the interviewer. That's how it was with your show. It's their show and they're in charge. What's happened is these newer interviewers you refer to have simply brought their own personality out more, which makes it all much funnier in my view.
Extract 3. You hear two friends talking about a bike shop. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
They're a small family-run business, and I've started using them for repairs. I think they're the best in town for that. It's a same-day service, but you have to bring your bike in before 10 a.m. The only thing is, they charge you extra for leaving the bike overnight, which sometimes isn't your fault because maybe you just can get to the shop before it closed.
Oh, sounds fair enough, I suppose. I mean, from their point of view, an uncollected bike is taking up valuable space. It isn't a big shop, is it?
The only trouble is, though, I've known them to close the shop a bit early if they're not busy. The other day, I actually got there 5 minutes before their advertised closing time, arranged to leave work a bit early and ran over there all the way from the office, but they were already shut, which was really frustrating, especially as it meant I then had to get a bus home, plus another bus back into work the following day, and I ended up paying the overnight fee. They're a small family-run business, and I've started using them for repairs. I think they're the best in town for that. It's a same-day service, but you have to bring your bike in before 10 a.m. The only thing is, they charge you extra for leaving the bike overnight, which sometimes isn't your fault because maybe you just can get to the shop before it closed.
Oh, sounds fair enough, I suppose. I mean, from their point of view, an uncollected bike is taking up valuable space. It isn't a big shop, is it?
The only trouble is, though, I've known them to close the shop a bit early if they're not busy. The other day, I actually got there 5 minutes before their advertised closing time, arranged to leave work a bit early and ran over there all the way from the office, but they were already shut, which was really frustrating, especially as it meant I then had to get a bus home, plus another bus back into work the following day, and I ended up paying the overnight fee.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.